packed my golf clubs. We left on Tuesday. It was 80 degrees. I had t-shirt and shorts on. I'm so excited. I get to golf Mackinac Island. Take the golf clubs over on the boat. Get them unloaded. Friday morning, I get up to get going and play golf. And it's 36 degrees and blowing and starting to snow. I was determined to say I golfed on Mackinac Island, the putting green. Saw my wrath. That was it, though. I just couldn't get out anymore. Oh, I love my church. I tell you, we just love being here at Anchor Point Bible Church, and a great joy for Amy and I, and I know I can speak for Pastor Steve and Amanda and their family as well, that you are a real joy in our lives, and we appreciate you very, very much. I hold in my hands here a very common document, pretty common. It's my passport, and I was looking through it, and I'm seeing a bunch of visas for different countries that I've been at through the years. Really, if I started adding them all up, it would be several dozen, actually, that I have been blessed to do. And you know, this is a common document, but it's also a very important one because it allows me the right to travel around the world. It shows not only where I'm going, but where I've come from, but also who I am. Because it shows that I am a citizen of the United States of America, and therefore, as I travel, I'm a representative, if you will, of my country to the rest of the world as well. And the way people in other countries, when I'm traveling abroad, tend to view America through what they see in me. And that's just the reality of it. Maybe more importantly, they tend to view America by the old reruns that they get to watch on television that are just so out of the realm of reality, but it's funny to hear them talk about America and everybody looking like they do on Baywatch kind of thing, you know? Do you know David Hasselhoff? You know, they ask me as if he lives down the street or something. But now, we have been going through our Anchor Points series, talking about what is most important to us as a church. And last week, we had the real distinct pleasure of having our home missions conference and had represented Grace Adventures, Bridge to Life Ministries, and Master Arts Theater. Amy and I and a number of you were able to be at the banquet last night in Grand Rapids and were treated to some wonderful vignettes and great food and just an incredible ministry that seeks to honor Christ in and through the arts. We saw, though, how these ministries that we support financially as well as materially and with time make a difference in our community and in our local area. And since one of our anchor points is missions, I thought it would be helpful to focus on the twin of missions, which is evangelism. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, because when I mentioned it to you, I snapped a picture of you, and this is what it turned out like. Okay? You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 20, it's on the back of your bulletin if you're taking notes this morning. It says in verse 20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as God is making his appeal through us." We learn here that we are ambassadors. It's an interesting word picture that the Apostle Paul gives us of our commission to share the gospel. I did a little bit of digging and I found out what it means to be an ambassador. Actually, Webster's definition of the word ambassador is an official envoy. In other words, somebody who may be a diplomat agent or the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his own government or sovereign or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. Can also speak of one who is an authorized representative or a messenger. So an ambassador has to be a special person. not just any old person is going to do. I was doing some digging again and trying to figure out a little illustration here, and I found an example of how seriously our country takes the choosing of our ambassadors. When President William McKinley had a decision to make about the appointment of an ambassador to a foreign country, he had two equally qualified individuals that he was considering. He searched his mind for some yardstick, some benchmark that he could look to make a decision as he wanted to test the true character of each man. And then he was brought to mind of a situation, and years later, he revealed that the unkindness of one of those men was a determining factor in his decision. Many years earlier, when he was still a senator and a congressman, he had observed an inconsiderable action of one of the men. He recalled boarding a streetcar, and it was pretty full, so he was able to find a seat. And at the last stop, an elderly lady got on carrying a package, but there were no seats to be found. McKinley was in the back of the bus, or the streetcar, and she walked the length of the car looking and then ended up moving back, and she could hardly keep her balance as the vehicle was swaying back and forth. One of the men that McKinley was later to consider for an ambassador was sitting next to where the woman ended up standing. But instead of getting up and helping her, McKinley observed as he read his paper, shifting his paper so it looked like he hadn't seen her. Well, McKinley ended up getting up and took the lady's package and offered her his seat. And that one event later, as that man was unaware anybody was observing him, that one act of selfishness took away the opportunity, what may have been the crowning achievement of his life. You see, an ambassador has to be a special person, because you can imagine that the trouble that our country would be in if we had a bunch of, you know, renegade ambassadors running around and spouting off things that didn't correctly represent the sentiments of our leaders. In a very real way, ambassadors need to be controlled by those who are in authority over them, and that is certainly true for our government ambassadors, as well as, we could say, you and I, as ambassadors for the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Because the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 1:13 that we have been transferred from this kingdom of darkness, Satan's realm, in this life in which we live, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So there is a very real distinction now that we carry as part of the family of God, being part of a heavenly realm, even while we are here on this earth. When an ambassador of the United States goes to a foreign country, he or she can act with the full authority of our government in areas that the leader has given them permission. But he or she, the ambassador, can only then speak what they have been given permission to speak. They can only act as they have been instructed to act. They can say nothing more and nothing less than our government allows them to say. So an ambassador, whether it's to the United Nations or to China or Russia or any other country, is a representative of our country to that land and to the world. Paul himself realized that he was an ambassador. Whether he was traveling the countryside preaching God's word, or stuck in a jail cell next to a Roman guard writing epistles or letters to us, he knew that he was an ambassador. He wasn't just an ambassador when he he came out of the Old Testament, so when he would go to the synagogue on Saturdays, he wasn't just an ambassador on the Sabbath day. He was an ambassador every single day of the week. He wasn't just an ambassador when he felt like it. He knew that he was always in that role. And so he wrote from prison, "Pray for me that utterance, that the right words would be given him in opening his mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." He said, this is the reason that I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So you and I, along with the Apostle Paul, are called to be ambassadors to this world for the cause of Christ at all times. In all situations, we are ambassadors. But what is our message? What have we been instructed to share on behalf of the King whom we represent, of the sovereign whom we are sent forth from into this world? If you'd like to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll take a look a little bit here as we find out what we are to say or to do. And that's a great question to answer that we find the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaking of this very scenario. And he tells us here to begin with in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He says, for the love of Christ controls or compels us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. Therefore, all have died. And he, that's Christ, died for all, that those who might live, those who live might no longer live for themselves. But look at this, for him, that's Christ, who for their sakes died and was raised. So from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. In other words, there was a physical, earthly ministry that Jesus had. But he is no longer here on this earth. He has died and risen and ascended into glory where he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And so the commission that we have and the representative that we are is one of eternal purpose. One who represents someone who is in glory, and that is exactly the case we find here. He goes on, therefore, if one is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Well, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So there is our message. God is in and through Christ reconciling the world to himself, forgiving sins through what Jesus did on the cross. What a great message. What a mandate that we have to shout from the mountaintop. What a charge. People all over our community, all over the world, are hungry for that message, beloved. Jesus sends us out to represent him. In John 17:8, Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission, where? In the world, okay? That's where he has sent us. And in John 20:21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And of course, there's a great application to believers both then and now. But what is it that we're being sent to do? What is our mission? Well, Paul is very specific elsewhere. He says in Acts chapter 20, the most important thing to me is that I complete my mission. What is that mission? It is the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. My ESV says to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So this is good news. Amen? It's good news, I'm telling you. In fact, this is the word good news that is translated for the word gospel. That's the basic meaning of this word. In the Greek language, the word gospel is evangelos, made up of two words. In our Bible instruction class this past week, one of our students, Michael, asked, because we were talking about evangelism. He said, what's evangelism? And that's a great question. We took a moment to talk about, and I broke down the etymology of this word. It's the word ev, a little pronoun here, which means good, and angelos, which you might see the word angel in that. Okay? What is an angel? An angel is a messenger, someone who brings a word. That's the basic meaning of that word, angelos, is a word. So literally, you put them together, you've got a good word or good news. So that is exactly what the gospel is and what it means. So it's this good news about the gospel that God wants us to share. And that is the real reason that God has put us here as his ambassadors, his emissaries in this foreign land. Honestly, we serve an authority that the world doesn't see and doesn't recognize yet. We speak a different language. We have different customs and lifestyles. Yeah, we feel a bit like strangers, even though that we've made this home, this place, our home for a little while. Because we know, according to Philippians 1 and other places, that our citizenship is where? It's in heaven, right? That's where our citizenship is, ultimately. But we certainly enjoy the citizenship that we have now and all the perks that go with being an American. With this little passport, I can travel most anywhere in the world if it's safe. And I've had to make some adjustments to plans. Hannah and I, one of my stamps here was for, it's in the old one actually, was for India. And we were to go to India in October of 2001. We all know what happened in September 2001, 9/11. And so we had these plans a month later to go over there, and the missionaries in India had made big pictures of myself coming to teach over there, and then just a couple of weeks before we were to leave, there was the hijacking of the plane in New Delhi, and the board of GMI decided, wait a minute, boy, all these posters of Rob are up all over Hyderabad. And this is a predominantly Muslim area. He said, you talk about targets, we're not going to send you there. So I had to make an adjustment because I represented to those people America. And they knew they could get to America by getting to me. So we had to adjust our plans and ended up going to Zambia. And that was a lot of fun. I jumped off Victoria Falls Bridge and did some other crazy stuff. But I had the privilege of going there because I'm an American. This commission that God has given us, every one of us, is that God is making his appeal through us on behalf of Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. This begging, if you will, of people to be made right with God makes it clear that the sinner is delivered from the wrath and the judgment that is upon every person who is outside of Christ, to the blessings and rewards of a personal response of faith to the gospel of truth. That's the only means that God has given us to come to him in this dispensation, and that is faith. In fact, over in Galatians chapter 2, if you just want to flip over there, Galatians chapter 2, we see in verse 16, he says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith. And if you write in your Bible, this is a good place here. But through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. In other words, his faithfulness to do the Father's will. So also we have believed in Christ Jesus. There's our part. In order to be justified, you see, we're not justified by our believing in him. We're justified by the faithfulness of Christ to the cross and God's will, the Father, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So what does this faith involve then? Well, it's very clear. It's the good news. It's the gospel that Jesus is God, that he died for our sins, and we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no one and nothing else, and we confess him as Lord and Savior. That is our anchor point, beloved. We beg you, be reconciled to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's no external rituals you've got to go through. There's no magic potion you can drink or eat that's going to make you a Christian. There is no effort that you can set forth to be better than you can possibly be, because you can never be perfect. It is only what Jesus Christ did on the cross. and his faithfulness to pay the price for your sins and for mine, that we find salvation. But somehow, we have gotten the idea that it's only missionaries that can share that good news. Where did that come from? How did we lose our mandate to all be ambassadors? There's a great principle found in the beginning of the book of Acts that has both specific and universal application. Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, when Jesus said this to his followers, do you know where they were? They were in Jerusalem. That's where they lived. So this is the point. He's saying, I want you to start at home. I want you to start with the people who are closest to you, right here in your own community, right here in your own city. That's where you begin. And then, once you've done that, I want you to go to Judea and to Samaria. Judea would have been the land of Israel, but Samaria, that's like the county next door over, okay? They are different culturally. The Samaritans were very different racially, culturally. He said, I want you to go to the people nearby, but you know what? They're going to be different from you. So you have to make sure that you're prepared for what you're going to deal with. You see, when you cross the line from Muskegon County to Ottawa County, you get a bunch of crazy Dutch people that you got to know how to deal with, all right? Because they think if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. So you got to build some bridges there, and you got to try to reach those in our counties around. You know I'm joking a little bit, okay? A little bit, I'll add that there. He says then, after you've done that, after you've been at home and in your community, after you've gone to the counties around you, then, and only then, are you to go to the ends of the earth. Now, we have people from our own church who have done just that and are now in the ends of the earth in other countries serving God with the gospel of his grace. Now, there's a couple things I want you to notice here in this verse. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. You know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, you're going to be my defense attorney. He doesn't say, you're going to be my salesperson. See, you don't have to defend God. You don't have to try to sell God. God only wants you to be a witness. And what does it mean to be a witness? Well, a witness who is called to a stand is to simply say and tell what they have seen and heard in their own physical realm. They're not to make up stories. They're not to embellish things. They're to simply say, this is what happened to me. And you know what? You are the expert on you. You are the one that can tell others of what God has done and is doing in your life. And no one else is better at doing you than you. So that's your witness, to share what God has been doing in your life. So God says, I want you to tell other people what I've been doing in your life, what's happened to you, what's happened in your life. And you know what? It really is up to you and me to do this. It's not somebody else's job. It's not somebody else's role. We're all God's ambassadors to represent him. I heard the story when one time God assembled all of the angels in heaven. And he said, I want to let you know what my plans are for the earth. He said, you see all those people down there? He said, my plan is to give my good news about my son Jesus to all my children on earth and ask them to share it. And an angel timidly raised his hand in the back and said, excuse me, God, what if they don't? What is plan B? God said, you know, there is no plan B. You see, God uses you and me, his ambassadors, to share the good news. And I want to share a couple ways that you can let God use you as an ambassador for his kingdom. On your notes, three things. First of all, to best represent him, I must share with those in my world. That's what Jesus said. You've sent me, Father. Now I'm sending them in their world. That's the starting point. You know, there was this guy that Jesus healed. You can find the story in Luke chapter 8. He heals this man, and the guy is so excited to be healed and finally be able to walk and do all the things that he hadn't been able to do before. And he said, I want to be with you, Jesus. I want to follow you everywhere you go. And he said, no, you know what? I don't want you to follow me. I'm telling you to go back home and to tell how much God has done for you to everybody. So that man, we're told, went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. You see, that's what Jesus says to us. You know where your mission starts? You know, don't look on the mission board outside our sanctuary here and say, oh yeah, there's our mission. No, look to the person around you. And when you go home, to the neighbor next door or across the street, or when you stop for some groceries tomorrow and see the person in the checkout line next to you that you've seen every week but you never have really talked to and established a relationship with, or that person in school that you've noticed sitting over on the table that's been by themselves for quite a while, a number of weeks, and maybe you take the first step to go sit by that person and to develop a relationship with them and to just be a friend. That's the beginning of evangelism, of being God's ambassador. So it says here, he went all over town. That's what God wants us to do. Our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. God says, I want you to evangelize. I want you to share the good news with the people first in your Jerusalem, the people who are closest to you. Do you ever wonder, as I do, why God just doesn't take us home when we first come to know Christ as our Savior? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? It's like, okay, I trust you, Lord. I ask you to forgive my sins and to become my Savior. Boom! We're in heaven with him. But see, no, we are left here on this earth. There's pain, there's hurt, there's disappointment, there's struggle. There's all the health issues and the emotional things and the baggage that comes with life here and all kinds of stuff. Why doesn't God say in that moment, you know what, God, I want to be on your team, instantly take us to heaven? Well, you know what? There's only two things that you cannot do in heaven. All right, you ready for this? Two things you can't do. Well, first of all, what can you do in heaven? Well, you can sing and praise God and worship him, and you can, you know, tap dance on the streets of gold and you know, finally meet some of those people that you've learned about in the Bible. But two things you cannot do. The one thing you can't do is sin in heaven. And the second thing you can't do is to tell somebody who is not a Christian that Jesus loves them and has a plan for their life and he died for their sins. You can't do that in heaven. Because there won't be any of those people in heaven to tell the good news. So which of those two reasons do you think you're still left on this earth for? Better not be number one, okay? The only reason that your heart is still beating after you come to Christ is because God wants you to share his love with the people that haven't heard yet around you. If somebody hadn't shared it with you, you'd be lost. So God wants us to share it with others. In fact, he feels strongly about this. In 2 Peter, we learn that God doesn't want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. He's not willing that any should perish. As long as there is one person on this earth who doesn't know the good news, God says, we've got to keep reaching out. You know how much God cares about you, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers who don't know the Lord? You know how much he loves them? This much. That's how much Jesus loves you when his arms were spread on the cross and the nails pierced his hands and his feet as he hung there to die for our sins, the sins of the world upon him. That's how much God loves us. And so we've got to care because God cares that much. You know, sometimes I have people come to me and, you know, they ask the question as people come to Jesus Christ and our church is growing, they say, you know, Rob, you know, isn't our church big enough? I want to say to you, you know, it was just the right size for someone else before you came. Think about that. Listen to me, beloved. We do not want to grow for our own benefit. We're growing because people need the Lord, and they're bringing their friends, their family to this place to be part of this work. So the wrong question is, how big should we get? The right question is, should anybody be left behind? The answer, of course, is no. The church that doesn't want to grow and reach its community is basically saying to the world, you know what, we're okay with you being lost. If you walk out of this place, friend, and you don't ever share your faith, you're saying to the world, you can go to hell. Tough for you. I'm in. Get over it. Best of luck to you. But you see, if we want God's blessing, if we want His legacy in our life and on our church, we need to care about, I believe, what God cares most about. And do you know what God cares more about anything else? It's people. It's people. Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your fellow students, your loved ones, your relatives that don't know Jesus. That's what Anchor Point Bible Church needs to be about. People. Making a difference in lives. That's the mission God has given us, to love people and to share the good news. Amen? All right, tracking with me. Now, I said three things. All right, first, I must share with those in my world, but that's not enough. It's not enough to just care about the people who are around me. Number two, I must dare to reach beyond my world. You see, love demands that I reach beyond my comfort zone to people who are different than I am. Different backgrounds, different education, different politics, different language, different economics. Our mission has such eternal consequences. It's heaven or hell that we must be willing to risk anything and everything to get the message out. You know, if I had the cure for cancer, I'd want to be on the street corners. I'd want to be in the best of the university shouting out what I have found. It would be a sin not to let others know of this great answer to one of humanity's hardest problems. But if I have something even more important than that, the way to eternal life, because someone cared enough to tell me, I need to be caring enough to tell others. The apostle also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, though I'm free and belong to no one, I make myself a slave or a servant to everyone so that I can win as many as possible. You see, as ambassadors for Christ, we don't just sit back and live in the world. We're told to reach out and to share the good news. We're to go to where others are. God expects us to make the first move. In fact, that's why he said just a few verses later, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. See, I'm willing to do this, he says, for the sake of the gospel that I can share in its blessings. And that brings us to the third area. I share with my world, I dare to reach beyond my world, and then I need to care about the whole world. And we have to care because God cares about the whole world. It's going to take you to a new level of spiritual maturity. Paul said to the Thessalonians, in kind of bragging on them a little bit, he says, you became an example to everyone around you, Achaia, Macedonia, for not only the word of the Lord, the message of God sounded out from you in your area, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. You know, in the years of our existence, since 1921, Berean Church has been known as a missions-minded church. And we carry that mantle forward now as Anchor Point Bible Church. And yes, we've given money to support missionaries for years. We've sent funds to build churches and schools and orphanages and hospitals. We've sent teams to build walls and to dig footings and pour foundations. And we've sent pastors to teach at seminars and visited churches literally on every continent through the years. We've helped put boxes together for Operation Christmas Child. We've brought toys for tots. The youth have raked the leaves and people have served meals at the city mission. Women's ministry, you heard, is collecting those essentials. I would really encourage you to get on board. Let's just pack those bags out. That's a tangible way you can help. You could lead songs and devotions at a nursing home. There's a need for that coming up in the new year. I encourage you to consider maybe a couple times a year being willing to go and just love on some people who are very lonely and just want somebody to pay attention to them. We've had people volunteer at the pregnancy center, done the same in schools and community functions. All of this, let me tell you, all of this is making a difference for eternity, both at home and around the world. Do you realize, beloved, that there are people who are going to be in heaven because of you? I'm excited about that. Now, it's not a bragging point. It's not a matter of pride. It's because you have been faithful to do what God has asked you to do. You're giving, you're praying, you're going, you're sharing, but we can't stop now. We can't pull back and say, oh yeah, I've done my bit. It's somebody else's turn to do that. No, you might segue into a different element or a different season of serving or ministry, but we still are all on the same team, and everyone needs to do our part. The fact is, Jesus has not come back yet, so the game isn't over. The job is still at hand. There's still work to do. So if you've gone, if you've given, if you've prayed, if you've supported, you participated in the gospel going out. So thank you. But there's still a job to do, right? Still a job. And we're all going to be part of the plan to make it known. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, you know what? He said, he has entrusted to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, and we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You know, if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to make it very clear that it isn't because you come to church that makes you a Christian. But I do believe that God brought you here for a reason today, October 28th, 2018. Walk through the rain from your car to get into this place. And that's perhaps to hear for the first time or for the final time that's necessary that Jesus loves you and that he died for your sins on the cross, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day and has ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God. And the only way that you're going to get out of the kingdom of darkness that Paul says you're in now if you are outside of Christ is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To simply come to him and believe on him who died for you. And the Bible says you will be saved. You know the verse well, John 3:16. You've seen it at football games. You've seen it on signs. You've maybe even memorized it as a kid. For God so loved the world, you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the great apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. You see, you're God's workmanship. He has an incredible design for you, but it can only be completed if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, today is the day for you to finally deal with it and to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? And if you've never made that commitment or prayed that prayer before, I just want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. You can even pray this in your heart. Just say something like this: Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I have blown it. But God, I want you to be the master of my life. I thank you that you died on the cross, and that you were buried and rose again. I thank you that now, in trusting in you alone, you give me salvation. You make me part of your family. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you did for me. I trust in you now. And ask that you would forgive me of my sins and to make me brand new. Help me, Lord, as I go away from this place to be a light to others and tell others what you've done for me today. Oh, dear God, if there's any here who have been holding back, they know they're a Christian, they know that they've been saved, and they just have been nervous or scared to speak of the great things you've done in their life. I pray, Lord, just give them new freedom. Give them new joy in sharing their faith. It doesn't matter if somebody makes fun of us or mocks us or even turns away from us, Lord. Help us to be faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you are the anchor that holds us, and that sharing the good news is an anchor point of our church, Lord. We take it seriously. We want to honor you. We thank you for all you've done for us now. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, and amen. Would you stand with me as we sing our chorus a couple times? We have an anchor.
We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
And all God's people said, and amen, amen. Grace and peace be with you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.